Chaitanya,
Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinda,
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda,
Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinda,
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda,
Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinda.
Jaya. Today we're reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 18, The Lord's Visit to Sri Vrindavan, texts 4 through 14.
Arite Radha Kundavata Puche Lokastane. Keha nahi kehe sangera brahmana na jane.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked the local people, where is Radhakund? No one could inform him, and the Brahmin accompanying him did not know either.
Tirtha lupta jani prabhu sarvagnya bhagavan dui dani kshetra alpa jale kailasnana.
The Lord then understood that the holy place of Radhakund was no longer visible. However, being the omniscient Supreme Personality of Godhead, he discovered Radhakund and Shyamakund in two paddy fields. There was only a little water, but he took his bath there.
Text 6. Dekhi sabha gramya lokera vishmaya hala mana prema prabhu kare Radhakundera stavana.
When the people of the village saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taking his bath in those two ponds in the middle of two paddy fields, they were very astonished. The Lord then offered his prayers to Sri Radhakund.
Shabha gopi hoite radha krishnara prayasi toite radha krinda priya piyara sarasi.
Of all the gopis, Radharani is the dearmost. Similarly, the lake known as Radhakund is very dear to the Lord because it is very dear to Srimati Radharani.
Text 8. Yata priya ehtaradha priya vishnos tasya kundam priyantata sarvagope sisarvaika vishnur janta balaba.
Srimati Radharani is the most dear to Lord Krishna, and her lake known as Radhakund is also very dear to him. Of all the gopis, Srimati Radharani is certainly the most beloved. Purport. This is a verse from the Padma Purana.
Text 9.
Ye kunde nitya Krishna radhikara sange jale jale kedikare tirera sarange.
In that lake, Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani used to sport daily in the water and have rasa dance on the bank.
Se kunde ye eka bare kare snan, tanre radha sama prema krishna kare dan.
Indeed, Lord Krishna gives ecstatic love like that of Srimati Radharani to whoever bathes in that lake, even once in his life.
Kundarama duriyena radha hodima, kundarama himayena radhara mahima.
The attraction of Radhakund is as sweet as that as of Srimati Radharani. Similarly, the glories of the Kund, or lake, are as glorious as Srimati Radharani.
Text 12. Sri Radheva Haris Tadiya Sarasi Prestari Bhutai Svargunaya Yasyam Sriyutam Aravindur Anisam Prityataya Kridati Premasmin Bhatarari Keva Labhate Yasyam Sakrit Stan Krit Tasyavai Mahima Tatama Durima Kenastu Varnya Kshitu.
Because of its wonderful transcendental qualities, Radhakund is as dear to Krishna as Srimati Radharani. It is in that lake that the all-opulent Lord Sri Krishna performed his pastimes with Srimati Radharani with great pleasure and transcendental bliss. Whoever bathes just once in Radhakund attains Srimati Radharani's loving attraction for Sri Krishna. Who within this world can describe the glories and sweetness of Sri Radhakund? Purport, this is a verse from the Govinda Lilamrita, 7.102, text 13. E mata stuti kare prema vistahana tere nitya kare kunda lila sanariya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then offered his prayers to Radhakund. Overwhelmed by ecstatic love, he danced on the banks, remembering the pastimes Lord Krishna performed on the banks of Radhakund. Kondara murtika lana tilaka koila bhata chaya dvara mritika sangekare laila. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then marked his body with tilak made from the mud of Radhakund. And with the help of Balabhadra Bhattacharya, he collected some of that mud and took it with him. Om Gyana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Gena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Last week, this is the Parikrama narration of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveling throughout Vrindavan. And last week we heard Pushkar Prabhu narrate how he came to Aritgram, where Aristasura had been killed. And Pushkar Prabhu read from Saratha Darshini Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur's commentary on the 10th canto of that pastime of Arista. In his purport, Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur included the narration of the advent of Radhakund from the Padma Purana. Remember how after he killed Aristasura, the gopis wouldn't associate with him. So Krishna created the Kund, and then Radharani created her Kund, and that whole narration was already described. The week before that, I had explained about the Dham and service to the Dham, and how Krishna's transcendental abode from the spiritual sky of Goloka Vrindavan actually manifests in the material world on this earthly planet. And we read from Brahma Samhita a description of that abode with the lotus flower, if you remember, and the different petals. And we discussed how Rupa Goswami, Lord Chaitanya had taught Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami that there are five different characteristics of devotional service or practices we can perform, categories of devotional service that are extremely potent, which awaken, by performing them, they help to awaken, they nurture love for the Lord. Well, you can learn that verse. Sadhu Sangha, Harinama, Bhagavat Shravan, in hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Mathura Vasa, living in Mathura, Srimurtira Shradaya Sevan, and worshiping the deity. And we talked about how those groups can be compared to the food groups: carbohydrates, proteins, fats, minerals, and vitamins. We all have seen those charts when we were children. So Lord Chaitanya, as he is traveling throughout Vrindavan, is specifically focusing on that aspect of devotional service and the importance of visiting the places of pilgrimage where Krishna performed his pastimes, meditating on those pastimes that took place there, and in this way, learning and becoming absorbed in the moods of love that Krishna and his associates exhibit in the spiritual world. And by him manifesting them in this material world, they leave an example of how we can enter into those pastimes. We also talked about how Krishna's great-grandson, Vajra, after Krishna's pastimes, was the king of Mathura, and he established all these different places where Krishna had performed his pastimes. That was almost 5,000 years ago. So now, 5,000 years later, Lord Chaitanya has come to Aritgram, the place where Aristasura was killed, and he's asking, where is Radhakund? But over the course of those thousands of years, knowledge of all these places had been lost. So part of Lord Chaitanya's lila is to experience the mood of Srimati Radharani, and the other part of it is to broadcast that love. So I want to, this is kind of like a sequel to the first class a couple of weeks ago, where we described Krishna's Dham manifesting in this material world. Here's the verse that we read. The super excellent station of Krishna, which is known as Gokul, has thousands of petals and a corolla like that of a lotus, sprouted from a part of his infinitary aspect, the whirl of the leaves being the actual abode of Krishna. We talked about, we read in the purport, how Baladev, one of his functions is to create an atmosphere out of service to Krishna so that he can perform his various leelas. That's the infinitary aspect. So on the cover of Srimad Bhagavatam, you remember that lotus flower. Then there's the Paravyoma and the Vaikuntha planets. And then there's a cloud where there's the material world. And that Dham from the spiritual sky manifests in the material world. Now, in text 5 of Brahma Samhita, there's a rather hidden understanding and description. We may remember that at the beginning of creation, Lord Brahma was all by himself. There was nothing. There was no planets. There was nothing but the lotus flower upon which he was born and appeared. And after performing penances and austerities, the Lord revealed himself and his Dham in the transcendental world beyond this material universe to him. So Brahma is relating in Brahma Samhita his realization that Krishna bestowed upon him. This is text 5. There is a mysterious quadrangular place named Swetadeep surrounding the outskirts of Gokul. So I think we've all seen pictures of yantras. Imagine a yantra, which is kind of like a lotus, and then around it there's a square. So there's a quadrangular place. There's a square around a circle. The circle is Goloka. Gokula, I'm sorry. Swetadweep is divided into four parts on all four sides. The abodes of Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha are separately located in each of those four parts. These four divided abodes are enveloped by the fourfold human requirements, such as piety, wealth, passion, and liberation, and also by the four Vedas, Rik, Sama, Yajur, and Atharva, which deal with the mantra and which are the basis of achievements of the fourfold mundane requirements. So the reality and the eternal nature of these events and activities exists in the spiritual world and manifests in a perverted reflection in the material world. 10 tridents are fixed in the 10 directions, including the zenith and the nadir. The 8 directions are decorated with 8 jewels of Mahapadma, Padma, Shankh, Makara, Kachapa, Mukunda, Konda, and Nila. There are 10 protectors or dikpals of these 10 directions in the form of mantras. The associates of the hues blue, yellow, red, and white, and the extraordinary potencies bearing the names Bimala, etc., shine on all sides. So, this was Lord Krishna's revelation to Brahma. There's a verse which states that just as Lord Krishna enlightened Brahma at the beginning of creation so that he could create, similarly, Lord Chaitanya enlightened and empowered Rupa Goswami so that he could reestablish all these places in Vrindavan. Rupa Goswami's nephew, of course, was Jiva Goswami. So Jiva Goswami has pierced in to explain to us what this quadrangular abode is, which is part of Goloka Vrindavan planet, but not part of the place where Krishna performs his pastimes in the whirl of the lotus flower. It's an abode just outside of that in the quadrangular section. This purport by Jiva Goswami describes what's in that in that part of the Dham. The devotees who are imbued with all love and who walk in the footsteps of the spiritual maids of Braj alone attain to the realm of Goloka. The different locations of devotees in Goloka, according to their respective differences in the nature of their rasas, or the mellow qualities, are settled by the inconceivable power of Krishna. The pure devotees following devotees of Braj, and those following the pure devotees of Navadvip, are located in the realms of Krishna and Gaura, respectively. Which means that the devotees of Krishna are in Krishna's part of Goloka Vrindavan, and those who are followers and devotees of Lord Chaitanya have their residence in the abode of Navadvip in Goloka. The identical devotees of Braja and Navadvip simultaneously attain to the pleasures of service in the realm of Krishna and Gaura. So there are some devotees who are devotees of Krishna only and remain in Goloka Vrindavan with Krishna. And there are some who are only devotees of Lord Chaitanya and they live in that dham. And then there are some who are devotees of both, and they live in both dhams. Like we know that Rupa Goswami, in his male form as a servant of Lord Chaitanya, lives eternally in Navadvip. But he also, in his form as Rupa Manjari, a servant of Srimati Radharani in Lalita's camp, lives eternally in Goloka Vrindavan with Krishna. Srila Jiva Goswami writes in his work, Gopala Champu, quote, "The supreme transcendental realm is called Goloka, being the abode of Go, transcendental cows, and Gopa, transcendental cowherds. This is the seat of the rasa pastimes of the absolute Sri Krishna." Again, the realm is called Svatadvip, owing to the realization of some of the rasas, which are the inconceivable manifestation derived from the untouched purity of that supreme realm. The twofold entities of the supreme Goloka and the supreme Svatadvip are indivisibly the realm of Goloka. So both Goloka Vrindavan, where Krishna is performing his pastimes, and Navadvip Dham, where Lord Chaitanya performs his pastimes, are part of the Goloka planet. The gist of the whole matter is this. Goloka, as Svatadvip, is eternally manifest because the pleasure of enjoyment of the rasa could not be held in its entirety in the pastimes of Krishna in Braj. He accepts the emotions and effulgence of his predominated moayati, Sri Radhika, and makes an eternal pastime for the enjoyment of Krishna rasa there. So as we know from Adi Lila chapter 4, Krishna himself can't experience the mood of Srimati Radharani in his pastimes as Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. So he establishes a whole other dham and manifests an entire form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to experience her mood. That's why it says that the rasa couldn't be enjoyed in its entirety, because he can't take the mood and position of Srimati Radharani while he's in his cowherd boy bhav. He has to exhibit or manifest an entire other realm and and form and associates to nurture that rasa. Sri Krishna Chandra, coveting to taste the following pleasures, to realize, one, the nature of the greatness of the love of Sri Radha, two, the nature of the wonderful sweetness of her love, of which Sri Radhika has got the taste, his love. Three, the nature of the exquisite joy that occurs to Sri Radha by her realization of the sweetness of his love, took birth, like the moon, in the ocean of the womb of Srimati Sachi Devi. The esoteric desire of Sri Jiva Goswami Prabhu is herein made manifest. In the Veda, it is also said, let me tell you the mystery. In Navadvip, the identical realm of Goloka, on the bank of the Ganges, Gaurachandra, who is Govinda, the entity of pure cognition, who has two hands, who is the soul of all souls, who has the supreme great personality as the great meditative sannyasi, and who is beyond the threefold mundane attributes, makes the process of pure unalloyed devotion manifest in this mundane world. He is soul Godhead. He is the source of all forms, the supreme soul of Godhead, manifesting himself in yellow, red, blue, and white colors. He is the direct entity of pure cognition, full of spiritual potency. He is the figure of a devotee. He is the bestower of devotion and cognizable by devotion alone. The selfsame Gaurachandra, who is none other than Krishna himself, in order to taste the rasa of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna in Goloka, is manifest in the eternal realm of Navadvip, identical with Goloka. Just as Sri Krishna had his birth in the mundane Gokul through the agency of Yogamaya, who is the primeval energy of the Supreme Lord, so with her help, he manifests his lila and his birth in the womb of Sri Sachi Devi in Navadvip, on this mundane plane. These are the absolute truths of spiritual science and not the outcome of imaginary speculation under the thraldom of the deluding energy of Godhead. And in his teachings too, by quoting this verse from the Padma Purana that we read, Yata radha priya vishnu tasya kundam priyamtata sarva gopi shusaivaika vishnu atyanta valabha. Srimati Radharani is most dear to Lord Krishna, and her lake, known as Radhakund, is also very dear to him. Of all the gopis, Srimati Radharani is certainly the most beloved. So the Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta puts a lot of emphasis on this pastime of Lord Chaitanya. If I was to say, what is the most superfood that you've heard of or can think of, what would you say, Divyanga? Going back to the food groups, nurturing our body, what's the most powerful food you can get? All right. Yeah, what do you want? These are all spiritual foods. We're talking about mundane food, like spirulina or something like that. They call them superfoods. Of all the different superfoods, spiritual foods, bathing in Radhakund is explained by Lord Chaitanya. This is beyond our, who can understand simply bathing in a kund? But that activity does something on a spiritual plane. It creates a vibration, it creates a bond between the Lord and the living entity, which or plants the seed for that growth of the love of Srimati Radharani. It says that one who bathes only once in this kund attains the love of the gopis. So that explains how Lord Chaitanya is manifesting, and now it's really unique, is that from that abode where he never, Lord Chaitanya and Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan never meet. That would be a rasabhasa. Lord Krishna has his pastimes in that whirl of the lotus flower, and Lord Chaitanya has manifest eternally in Navadvipa, which is a separate section or part of the Dham, which is separate. It's not the same. But here, that entity, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is in Vrindavan at Radhakund and reestablishing the Kund. So that's part one of today's class. Part two is what happened after this. What happened between now then, when it was just a paddy field, and what we see now. So I'll read some different history of the excavation and development of Radhakund. Oh, actually, wait a second. I'll tell you. Thanks. Having spent years serving Lord Chaitanya at Puri, Raghunath Das Goswami arrived in Vrindavan just after the Lord's disappearance, which occurred in the year 1534. Feeling intense separation from Lord Chaitanya, Raghunath Das had decided to end his life by throwing himself down from the top of Govardhan Hill. But he first desired to have the darshan of both Rupa and Sanatana Goswamis in Vrindavan. Seeing Raghunath's sorrowful condition, Rupa and Sanatana consoled him by accepting him as their third brother, requested him to spend the rest of his life performing bhajan at Radhakund. Rupa and Sanatana had reasoned that since Lord Chaitanya personally had given his own Govardhan Shila to Raghunath, along with his own set of Gunjamala, sacred to Radharani, this was surely a sign that the Lord desired Raghunath to live near Govardhan Hill and worship Radhakund. The Goswamis decided to appoint Raghunath as the custodian of Radhakund and acharya for all those who wished to reside on her sacred banks. Following the advice of Rupa and Sanatana, Raghunath went to live near the sacred lakes and regularly circumambulated Govardhan Hill. Some years later, while performing his bhajan on the banks of Radhakund, the idea of enlarging the kunds and building steps around them entered Raghunath's mind. At that time, the two sacred kunds were just muddy pools of water, about 12 feet in diameter, in the middle of two paddy fields. Devotees wishing to take a holy dip had to wade through the ankle-deep mud to get there. Here in the temple, I've made a slideshow and am showing images of Radhakund. If you look at the top, we can see Radhakund and Shamakund. If you look at the top of the photo, you can see the paddy fields. That's more or less what it was like when Raghunath Das was living there. If you're at home and want to follow the images, it's a slideshow without any sound, but because I'm going to be reading as it plays. It's called Radha Kund Excavation on YouTube. It's two words, Radha Kund, because there's a lot of Radha Kund videos. It's Radha Kund Excavation, Alachua Temple Class on my YouTube channel. Not yet. Raghunath visualized that in the future, thousands of pilgrims would flock to Radha Kund to take their holy bath. And therefore, to enlarge in the kunds seemed a good idea. Raghunath then considered how much money would be required for excavation of these kunds. And then suddenly he condemned himself for allowing such a lusty thought to enter his mind and distract his bhajan. With increased determination, he again absorbed himself in meditation on the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. That very same day, over 1,000 miles away at Badrik Ashram in the Himalayas, a wealthy merchant named Samarpan was on his way to give a large donation to the deity of the Lord, Badri Narayan. That night in a dream, Lord Badri Narayan came before that merchant and ordered him to give that donation to the devotee living at Radhakund in Vrindavan of the name Raghunath Das Goswami, to be used as he so desired. Early the next morning, the merchant awoke in an ecstatic mood, having had darshan of Lord Badri Narayan in his dream, and started immediately for Vrindavan. Reaching the holy land of Vrindavan, the merchant Samarpan soon located Raghunath Das, who was sitting on the banks of Radhakund, absorbed in his bhajan. After offering his respects, Samarpan handed a large donation of money to Raghunath Das, who at first flatly refused to accept it. But after hearing the merchant's story, astonished at the ways of the Lord, he relented and accepted the donation in humble gratitude. You can start now, thank you. Raghunath Das immediately called for Jiva Goswami from Vrindavan and asked him to purchase the two paddy fields where Radhakund and Shyamakund were situated. On his arrival at Radhakund, Jiva Goswami immediately purchased the two paddy fields in the name of Raghunath Das Goswami. This event occurred in the year 1545. Work then started on the excavation of Radhakund under the personal supervision of both Raghunath and Jiva. During the digging, Raghunath Das discovered beautiful deities of Radha and Krishna buried in the mud. Raghunath Das handed the deities over to a local Brahmin to worship, and a temple was constructed on the western banks of Radhakund. These were the first deities to be installed at Radhakund. This temple became known as the Purana, which means old Radha Krishna Mandir. Further excavation revealed the original kund, known as Kanchana Kund, created by Srimati Radharani and the gopis. The Bengali word Kanchana, or Kankon in Hindi, means bangle, which was used by Srimati Radharani to dig Radhakund. Around this original kund, Raghunath Das had many steps built on all four sides. Some years later, in 1591, the king of Jaipur, Rajman Singh, after completing the construction of the Govindaji temple in Vrindavan, came to Radhakund and constructed more steps above the ones built by Raghunath Das. Rajman Singh also built the canal linking Radhakund and Shyamakund with Lalitakund. Linking Shyamakund with Lalitakund for maintaining the water level of the kunds. Much later, in the year 1817, a wealthy landlord from Calcutta, Lal Babu, who later entered the renounced order, constructed even more stone steps around the kunds. When Radhakund is periodically emptied for cleaning, Kanchana Kund, created by Radharani and the gopis, can be clearly seen, as well as the steps constructed by Raghunath Das. As recently as 1941, when Radhakund was completely emptied for cleaning, natural springs could be seen bubbling water from beneath the ground. It is said that these springs are in fact the holy places called by Krishna to fill the kunds. These holy places have now taken the form of natural springs in order to continue their service to Srimati Radharani. Devotees also saw some springs emitting a thick, milky white substance, which is believed to be Kshir Sagara, the milk ocean, who also appeared here and by the order of Krishna and helped fill the kunds. It is said that one devotee collected some of this milky substance in a bottle, and the next day it had turned to yogurt. On some days, one can clearly see milky white patches within the sacred waters of Radhakund. Some devotees say that on rare occasions, the waters of Radhakund appear almost completely white due to large volumes of milk being released by the springs below. After completing the excavation of Radhakund, Raghunath Das turned his attention to Shyamakund with the idea of making it in the same square shape as Radhakund. This could not be done unless a number of trees were cut down, and it was decided to start work on the next day. That night, in a dream, the five Pandavas, headed by King Yudhisthira, came before Raghunath and requested that he not allow the trees near Shyamakund to be cut down. Yudhisthira explained that he and the other Pandavas were living in those trees and performing bhajan on the banks of Shyamakund. The next morning, before the work began, Raghunath instructed the workers that no trees should be cut down on that vacant area. It should be on the vacant area should be used to dig the kund. This accounts for the unusual triangular shape of Shamakund. During the excavation of Shamakund, the original kund created by Krishna's right heel was discovered. Encircling this kund, we can see the stone steps built almost 5,000 years earlier by King Vajrana, known as Vajra Kund. After the excavation work was completed in the year 15, after the excavation, work was completed in the year 1554. Raghunath Das Goswami continued to perform his bhajan on the banks of the sacred kunds up until his disappearance in the year 1583. Raghunath Das personally set the highest standard of renunciation expected for all those who wished to reside at Radha Kund. On the Vijay Dasami day in the year 1576, Raghunath Das Goswami handed over charge of Radha Kund to Jiva Goswami, who became the next Mahant. Krishnadas Brahmachari, a disciple of Jiva Goswami, became the next Mahant after the disappearance of Jiva in 1608. The line of Mahants of Radha Kund is still continuing, even up to the present day, and the original land deed and letter of appointment given to Jiva by Raghunath Das is still existing. Hare Krishna, Radha Kund ki jai. Any questions or comments? Can we get a microphone?
What was that from?
That was from the MVT website.
That was easy.
Oh no. It took a little while to find it, but it was kind of, so it was well made, well written, well researched. Yeah.
I have a question. We hear that one who worships Lord Chaitanya and doesn't worship Radha and Krishna is condemned. And then and one who worships Radha Krishna and ignores the worship of Lord Chaitanya, he's condemned. I read that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I don't have the quote where it is. So if there is a place in the spiritual world that is just for the worshipers of Lord Chaitanya, and then another place just for the worshipers of Radha and Krishna, where Radha and Krishna perform their pastimes, or Krishna, and then there's a place for those who want to engage in both, I could you explain that a little bit, how that's not a contradiction?
My only sense is that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is a bhakta of both, because obviously there are bona fide worshippers of Krishna who don't worship Lord Chaitanya, and there are bona fide worshippers of Lord Chaitanya who focus their worship on Lord Chaitanya. Of course they worship Radha and Krishna because Lord Chaitanya instructed us to do so, but they're not condemned because they're worshiping Krishna without Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya manifests only once in a day of Brahma. So if someone at another time or in another sampradaya, like the Vallabhacharya sampradaya, or the Nimbarka sampradaya, or the Sri sampradaya, even the Madhvas worship Krishna, they have Udupi Krishna, they worship Krishna, but they don't worship Lord Chaitanya because their line is prior. Madhvacharya was prior to Lord Chaitanya. They appreciate Lord Chaitanya. They accept him as part of their parampara below Madhvacharya, after Lord Chaitanya.
They don't accept him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Some may, but most don't. As far as I know, that's why Lord Chaitanya went there and argued with them. They were the Tattvavadis. Their main focus is not Lord Chaitanya. There's no Lord Chaitanya at Udupi Krishna, at Udupi Temple. The deity is Krishna, the one that Madhvacharya found in the boat coming from Dwarka. It was in a big chunk of tilak. And Madhvacharya was on the beach and Udupi is on the sea. And that boat was coming from Dwarka, going back down south. And because it had delivered its cargo in Dwarka, it had taken a whole bunch of clay from Dwarka as a ballast to hold the boat down as it traveled back south. And as that boat was going, it would, in Udupi, it's kind of like if you see Hawaii, they have these little islands that stick up out in the middle of no place. All of a sudden, there's a little island, so there's rocks and islands off the coast of Udupi. And that boat was headed toward one of them, and Madhvacharya was there waving with his thing, and he started a fire and some smoke to let them know you're headed toward a... and then they stopped, and the captain noticed the person jumping up and down on the beach and saw where he was headed, so he stopped. He sent a rowboat in and met Madhvacharya and asked him, what can we possibly give you? And he said, well, what are you doing? What are you carrying in your boat? He said, we're just carrying clay from Dwarka. He said, well, I'll take a big chunk of that for my tilak. So they put a big chunk of tilak on the boat and they rowed it into the Udupi beach and gave it to Madhvacharya. And as they were bringing it, it cracked open and there was a deity inside it. And that's Udupi Krishna. So they're worshiping Krishna without Lord Chaitanya.
Prabhu, I thought I need a clarification. I thought I heard you say, not you, but Pushkar last Saturday, that Prabhupada said we should not bathe in Radhakund.
No, Srila Prabhupada didn't say we shouldn't bathe in Radhakund. He said we shouldn't bathe frivolously. When the devotees first went in 1976 to Radhakund, it was the first time a big group of Westerners went together there in a group. Everybody was playing and splashing and racing and swimming all around. And when we got back to the temple, Srila Prabhupada was very disturbed and explained that that is not the way to bathe. We should bathe reverentially.
I had a question about the trees. Are the Pandavas still in the trees?
They were earlier, but as far as I know, they have now departed. Those trees no longer are manifest. They were when we first went to Radhakund, and they were for throughout the 80s, but I think I heard that in the 90s or maybe even early 2000s that the last tree, which was right in front of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's samadhi, left.
Well, that's sad.
Yes, well, it's five.
There was still one tree.
Is there still one? Okay. I really haven't checked it out in a while.
Is that like an expansion? Was that like an expansion of them? Because it's usually...
How devotees have different... How devotees can have different bodies is kind of like beyond my end. How can a person be in Goloka Vrindavan and Navadvip at the same time and on earth with Lord Chaitanya?
Generally being in a tree.
And it's also interesting that the Pandavas are Brijvasis in tree form.
Uh-huh.
Rabanya Prabhu? Nice topic.
The deity of Rupi Krishna, Skarbari, Rukmini.
Ah,
Krishna's grandson from Rukmini order, you know, Queen Rukmini, first wife of Lord Krishna. She wanted to worship Krishna in the cowboy form, right? So she worshiped that deity originally and then disappeared for some time.
Wow.
You know that?
No. I have forgotten.
So and the other thing, the Govardhan Shila, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave to Raghunadas, you can take darshan. It's in Vrindavan, you know.
Yes.
So for those who don't know, you can go to Vrindavan and take darshan of that Govardhan Shila. And it has the thumbprint of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He used to chant with that Govardhan Shila, right?
That's at the Radha Gokulananda temple.
Yes.
And you have to ask the pujari to show it to you.
Yes.
Yeah. So the request and instruction being most emphatically presented here is if you're in the vicinity of Govardhan Hill, please, like Mahavishnu Swami used to say, please, 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 bathe in Radhakund.
Does splashing water on you count?
Sure.
Huh?
Yes, it does.
Because I went there.
Even meditating on it counts.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Sesha Prabhu?
When did these photos come?
These photos are from Google Images. I just went through all the different images, downloaded them, and made a slideshow. Oh, Marumati. 2009. If you go on YouTube, they even have movies of it. They have videos of all the devotees. They make a big long line. There's one pretty ecstatic one. Everyone's ready, ready, just like in the Gundicha Mandir, when they were passing the buckets and the brooms and everything. They're going Krishna, Krishna. So in Radhakund, they have one line going up where everybody's taking the mud and passing it up, and then they have another one right next to it where they pass the empty bucket down to the bottom. Everybody's ready, 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 ready. They're all filled with mud. They're completely in ecstasy. Ready, ready. Yeah. Marumati?
Yeah, I have a couple of thoughts in my mind, but about Udupi Krishna, are those devotees who just worship Krishna or Radha and Krishna? But specifically just Krishna, I thought they don't go to Goloka, but they go to Vaikuntha.
It's Krishna. Is Krishna a cowherd boy with a flute and some butter in Vaikuntha?
Okay, for some reason I had the understanding it was...
And also the Vallabhacharya, they worship Gopal. They worship in most of them in Vatsalya Bhav. Take care of Gopal Krishna. So also them, they don't worship Lord Chaitanya as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They call Vallabhacharya Mahaprabhu. But it's a bona fide Vaishnava Sampradaya.
Another thing was that in Goloka, I'm assuming Lord Chaitanya is there is not a sannyasi. He is in the mood of a king or something? Or is he a sannyasi in...
Oh, no, he's Navadvip, just like in Navadvip Lila. He's Kirtan.
But is he is he in a sannyasi vesh or is he?
I don't think so. That's a good question. I have to do some research on that. Anybody else have an idea?
Why not both?
Exactly. Sure.
He can do it every
morning. Yes. Yeah, and certainly his pastimes in Jagannath Puri are distinct from his pastimes in Navadvip. Jai Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Radha Kunda ki jai, Sri Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you, as usual. Extended class. You're the most well-read, I think, here. You really prepare. It's amazing. That was so sweet. I was thinking, really fine.